Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, as we mentioned, the Tad's Locker Room Hotline going to get a workout here on Sports Daily here on a Tuesday. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Shane Dennis, Bruce Hurdle with you here on Sports Radio KFH. Cut down days were this past weekend in the NFL, so we're bringing the sporting news. Vinny Iyer, friend of the show. Good morning, Vinny. It's finally football week. I guess we'll start with your opinions or your thoughts. The elephant in the room, most recently, the trading of the Raiders to the Bears of Khalil Mack. A lot of layers to peel back on this onion, but just giving your overall general feel about why. Is this a good move? What did you think of the Khalil Mack trade to the Bears?
Well, we'll start with the Bears side of things. It's obviously a great move there. I know people might look at the cost overall, but you don't know what you're going to get with future first-round picks. I mean, mm-hmm. Kevin White is an example of what you could get if you're a Bears fan and be very disappointed with that pick. And you have this player that's in his prime that's going to change your defense. He allows it to do many different things there. You already have a pretty talented group there. So in a division where you have three very talented quarterbacks, it was a necessity to get another pass rusher of that level. So they're fine. That was a good move, aggressive on their part. On the other side of things, you wonder what the Raiders are doing. You look at that, and I think an underrated thing that happened as well is they cut Mario Edwards, the defensive end that they had high hopes for out of Florida State just a few years ago. So they're trying to do things John Gruden's way, and a lot of guys that are there, you know, Michael Crabtree is gone. A lot of guys that they were doing things with a couple years ago and winning some games, it's like he wants to win his own way and not try to look back to 2016, rather try to build a different type of team for 2019.
Is Reggie McKenzie just laying down for him? I mean, has he got all the power, John Gruden?
I think when you hear Reggie McKenzie's comments where they didn't think they were going to have to trade Khalil Mack or go back to middle of last season where they said, yeah, it's just imminent. We just have to get with the representatives for Mack and take care of business here. Every other 2014 high pick in that draft was taken care of. You can look at Odell Beckham Jr. You can look at Mike Evans previously. You can look at Aaron Donald now. Everybody else is getting their deals. This is the only team that's kind of resistant to doing that, especially with the player that arguably is the second best behind Donald from that class. So when you look at all that, it's just very head-scratching, and it seems very one person controlling everything there in Oakland now, and he's going to have to live with the consequences, which may not be good in the short term.
Vinny, when you go from 90 to 53 in one fell swoop, and actually 63 because you're developing a 10-man practice squad, it underscores how few jobs in the NFL are really open. But inevitably, every cutdown time of the year gives you at least a couple of surprises. What were the things on Saturday, as you looked around the league, that at least made you do a double take? Were there anything that rose to that level?
Well, I think just looking at how the quarterbacks are moving, teams are giving up pretty easily on guys like Davis Webb. The Giants last year everyone said, oh, is he going to be groomed to be Eli Manning's successor? I guess not. He's gone. They're doing things their way. A.J. McCarron, he started this offseason thinking he was going to get a bigger deal, then settles for $6 million. Looks like he's going to start in Buffalo over rookie. Then he hurts himself, doesn't look good at all, and ends up being traded to the Raiders. So just a lot of movement there with the backup quarterbacks and teams trying to shuffle that. And seeing with the injuries last year to Aaron Rodgers and Carson Wentz, one worked out really well, one did not. But you want to line up a good backup there. So I was looking at that, and I think with the other picks, it's not a surprise, like a guy like Rashad Perryman, first-round pick this morning in Baltimore's cut. There's just less patience now overall with these teams. If a guy's not buying in early, there's undrafted free agents or someone else that's going to push that guy off the team.
Vinny Iyer from Sporting News joining us, talking NFL. He's also the fantasy writer for the Sporting News. Now, I have a fantasy question for you in just a minute, but before we get off the cuts, Vinny, this may seem like a little thing, and maybe I'm a football geek in that way, but how do the Cowboys cut the second most accurate kicker in the NFL, Dan Bailey? Was it a money thing? And if it was, boy, they better be sure on the kicker they kept, huh?
Yeah, you see this a lot in the NFL now. Reliable guys have done it for years, and all of a sudden, team decides to go in a different direction. We've seen that with punters very often in this league. They're always looking for the bargain, bang for their buck at that position. And at some point when you have a reliable kicker, it's almost those guys get into trouble later because that's when the teams are willing to pay for them and they realize we don't want to pay this much for a kicker and we can get the same possibly out of someone else. So I think there's that, but these guys are replaceable and if you can find one undrafted guy to do the job at a high level, you figure you're going to find another one. And you want to just free up a little bit of money, and that's what happens in a lot of these cases. And that's why we're getting used to learning a lot of new kickers and punters' names every season.
You know, you wonder sometimes, Vinny, where franchises really are with their personnel. I think the Chiefs have been a really good example. Questions going in about their defense have been followed up by their acquisition of talent. They're plucking guys off of rosters, and they're taking some flyers on guys, trying to prop up what it appears to be is a fairly bad sense for where they are defensively. Is that what we're reading from Kansas City right now, and the way that they're kind of trying to bring guys in right now and prop this thing up?
Definitely. I mean, when you lose a guy like Derek Johnson, I know his skills are diminished, but he's still a leader. He's a guy that you're used to being out there getting everyone in the right place. And then Marcus Peters, just that dynamic playmaking ability, gambling, fearlessness in the secondary. You're going to take some hits here, and you're just not sure what you're going to get from the Chiefs' defense. I think the one thing that's been a struggle is getting enough takeaways and sacks, and I think that could still be a difficult problem here in the season. So I think they're just trying to piece together as many things they can right now to keep them from being just totally ripped apart by run and pass. And it's going to be difficult, but that's really unfortunate because I think the defense and the struggles there are going to really affect Patrick Mahomes because he's going to be in a lot of positions where he's predictably throwing and getting teed off on.
Jimmy G in San Francisco was going to have a pretty good security blanket, I feel like, in Jerick McKinnon had he stayed healthy, but he blew out. He's done for the year. What do the 49ers do to soften that blow, and who are the running back, who's the running back or backs that will pick up the slack for McKinnon's injury?
Well, I think you look at the 49ers, and when you have a system like that, and really it right now the systems that work in that old Mike Shanahan realm or Kyle Shanahan system, and then you look in Denver as well, you can plug in a lot of guys. And Alfred Morris, we know he came to the league and really was productive. He was sitting out there. They signed him just in case with Matt Breida and McKinnon dealing with another injury at the time for insurance. He turned out to look pretty good. So he can run in that system. They expect Breida to stay in the same role there and be a little bit of a change of pace there and get some good touches. So I don't think it hurts them as much as people might think, because if McKinnon was going to be a durability issue all year, they needed some insurance, got Morris there. So they're a little ahead for a different reason, but I think it's going to work out okay when you look overall with their committee.
Vinny Iyer from Sporting News talking NFL with us. We'll get to a little fantasy as well. Vinny, most intriguing team for you out there? I mean, we know the usual suspects, and we generally set our watches to them. Give me something or other that maybe is flying a little under the radar and that you're particularly intrigued about as the season gets ready to get going on Thursday.
Well, one team I just can't figure out, and I go back and forth. I think I ended up in the middle around 500 is the Broncos. But I'm starting to like a little bit more what I hear now about them. I still think it's going to be tough because I don't know exactly what you're going to get from Case Keenum in extended playing time. The passing game is still rather limited in terms of the weapons it has and some older receivers there. We'll have to see how that progresses. But the running game could be potentially much better. The defense already solid with Bradley Chubb in there. So a team that I may have been underestimating a little bit. It's going to be tough with the Chargers being the best team in that division. But I think when you look at the AFC, the wild card spot at the bottom is really open. Really, both of them are at this point. And it could be three teams from the AFC South, but I really see that the Broncos are going to be in that mix this year. So it'll be interesting who's going to be that extra team from the AFC, because I think the AFC has a lot more opportunities for teams to rise versus the NFC, which is pretty top-heavy, and you could be a very good team and be left out of the playoffs there.
Sporting News, Vinny Iyer talking NFL with us here on Sports Daily on the I Got It Tad's Locker Room Hotline. Le'Veon Bell has not reported yet to the Steelers, and it's game week. His teammates aren't totally surprised and don't seem to be worried at all. As a fantasy standpoint or a real-life standpoint, your level of concern about Le'Veon Bell not being in camp just yet, and if you had the number one, two, or three pick in your fantasy draft, would you go ahead and draft him with confidence?
I mean, I would, but I would make sure I get James Conner. James Conner's quietly had a very good offseason. He's not just a power back that they saw from the University of Pittsburgh. I think he's added a little bit more agility, lost a little bit of weight. So if they need to roll with James Conner, I think they would at this point. And with their offensive line and their passing game weapons and the balance that they have, James Conner is going to be pretty darn good in that system and produce. So I think this is why, especially this year when you have some clear so-called handcuffs in this league with John Kelly, the rookie there behind Todd Gurley, Chase Edmonds, another rookie there behind David Johnson, and Conner, second-year player. This is why you have to go get those guys, because these teams know the importance of having a strong backup that they can plug in there and play, and there's a reason why those teams draft those type of players early.
Final question for you, Vinny, from Sporting News. Join us here on Sports Daily, Vinny Iyer from Sporting News. Vin, what's your level of confidence in Nick Foles, and how long will he be a placeholder in Philadelphia? When do you think Carson Wentz is going to come back?
I think you have to have pretty good confidence in Nick Foles. I don't think necessarily in week one without Alshon Jeffrey and placing a Falcons defense where those two teams played a battle of attrition in the divisional playoffs, where I'm going to expect much scoring. So it's going to be a bit of a grind game for Nick Foles to get through. They're early, got hot in the playoffs, but really it was the last couple games. He was kind of cool before then, taking over for Wentz. So he's a hot and cold player. You never know what you're going to expect. He can be a Hall of Fame level quarterback in one game. He can look like a guy that should be benched or released in another game. So that's the toughness. I think with the Falcons, a tough defense, week one, short week, I think it's going to be tough for both teams to get too much going offensively in that game.
Appreciate your time, Vinny. Enjoy this weekend. Thanks for dropping by.
All right, thank you.
All right, Vinny Iyer from Sporting News, who, again, if you have missed him on this show before, he's been on Jeopardy. So when you hear Vinny Iyer is coming on the show and you want to know about the NFL,
Jeopardy.
The guy's been on
like
Jeopardy
that.
For crying out loud.
Well, so, there you go. Yeah, I mean, how did he do on Jeopardy? Did he get to a second day?
I want to say he won, but I don't. Just the fact that he made it on Jeopardy, that impresses
me.
That's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So like, the Eagles and the Falcons coming up on Thursday, and then off we go.
Yep.
Chiefs, of course, taking on the Chargers on the left coast. We'll talk to Dan Israel in about 20 minutes from now as our Chiefs chat every Tuesday. He'll drop by from Chiefs Radio Network. And at 10:25, we'll talk to the one and only Adam Schefter from ESPN, the NFL insider, has a memoir out today. I think you'll find it a very, very fascinating visit with Adam Schefter. The Twitter question is one of the most popular in Syndio HRO history. And I thought it was just really vanilla, but people came running. We'll tell you what it is and how you can vote when we come back. Shane and Bruce here on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.